Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now it's time for the Giants Report with Paul Dottino, brought to you by Jag One Physical Therapy. Get back to the life you love. By Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. And by Group 4 Auto, 4 is always less. Paul, welcome in. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you, Richard. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, well, the Post has a report this morning that the owners of the Giants are not necessarily on the same page regarding the future of Mr. Gettleman and Mr. Shurmur. Do you know anything about that? What do you think about that? Do you sense that, you know, Mara and Tisch are not exactly on the same page?
Well, I think that they probably shared opinions and shared conversation over the last month as to what they think, and they felt each other out in terms of temperature. But until they actually have their season-ending meeting, I don't think anybody has made any final decisions or hammered anything out to a point where, you know, they can definitively say what they're going to do, which is why, as I've said to you all along, that I think if you look at the body of evidence, it's very hard to defend Coach Shurmur staying. It doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means it's extremely hard to do. And until they actually sit down at the table and get everything together and say, okay, now it's time, we have to make a decision, what are we going to do? Until that happens, there's no way to tell exactly how it's going to shake down. Remember, somebody always has a winning lottery ticket. You may not expect to be that person, but somebody's got one.
Paul, how does it shake out? Because, you go back long enough to know, remember the Wellington and Tim Mara didn't get along, didn't speak for a while, didn't agree on a lot of things. I don't say that this is what that is, but who breaks the tie if one says, well, we got to change and the other one doesn't? Is there a guy that has a 51%, a little bit more power than the other, or do they have to come to a consensus to make a decision like this?
They have to come to a consensus. It's a 50-50 split right down the middle, Richard. And Wellington and Tim Mara, as you know, uncle and nephew, you alluded to it, they had a 50-50 split. They did not speak to each other for a lot of years. And it was ultimately, as you will recall, Pete Rozelle, who had to broker the deal to get George Young to become the Giants general manager in 1979. I mean, he literally presented both of the Maras with names, choices, and said, okay, what do you think of these? Went to the other Mara and said, what do you think of these guys? And it just so happened that George Young was on both of the lists, and each one of them were independently agreeable, like, okay, he's okay. And Rozelle said, great. Guess what? You said George Young. You said George Young was okay. All right, George Young is the guy. That's who you're going to hire. I mean, that's how bad the division was. I don't know. In my mind, there is no such division between the 50-50 Tisch Mara ownership right now. I don't know of anything that indicates there is a division of that nature whatsoever. But it is a 50-50 split, which means there is nobody getting the tie-breaking vote. Somebody's going to have to, if there is a conflicting opinion, somebody's going to have to bend and convince the other person that this is the way we should go.
Well, to actually more serious matters, I was saddened to see that Nate Solder's four-year-old son has cancer and is undergoing surgery, and you know, our best wishes go out to him. You know, sometimes we look at football players and we think of them almost like robots on the field, but they do have personal lives, and I can't imagine what he's going through right now with that situation.
No, and he has done a very brave job of putting on the best possible face he could to go there and fight with his teammates and do everything that he can do to try to hold up his responsibilities as a pro football player. Nate walks around and again shows bravery every day. You go up to him, you see him, you say, good morning, how you doing? He says things are going okay. He appreciates when you ask about his family's condition, but he doesn't really say a whole lot about it on most days. Because, you know, I believe that's probably how he gets through the day, by not dwelling on it. This is a guy who, as you know, he was up for the, he was the Giants' nomination for the Walter Payton Award, the humanitarian award that the NFL gives out every year. He is a terrific guy. He is a terrific teammate. He is a pro's pro when it comes to what he does on the football field. Has his production suffered? Sure it has. Whether or not it was because of the injuries that he's undergone, which he never talks about either, or because he has had to endure some tremendous personal burden, which, again, he really prefers not to talk about. I think he's a hell of a man. And I will tell you, I do occasionally have a hard time being critical of him because I know how difficult it must be for him to get through the day. That's, Richard, I can't imagine. I just can't.
Yeah, neither can I. Well, on the lighter side, we are seeing, I guess, the fun side of Eli Manning now. You know, we're getting to see a little bit of the personality and, you know, the drinking thing in Hoboken with Daniel Jones. And, you know, we're seeing much more of the human side of Eli than we have. I mean, he's always said the right thing, done the right thing, comported himself as a gentleman. And now we're seeing a bit of the fun.
Well, I think Eli has had so much pressure taken off of his shoulders. Remember, Eli Manning, according to some people, is the reason that it rains, is the reason that it's cold, is the reason the Giants lost. You get the picture. I mean, there've been a number of New York professional athletes over the years, guys like Patrick Ewing, guys like John Franco, and certainly Eli, the latest of the true professional athlete superstars, Hall of Fame players, who for some strange reason wound up absorbing some nasty vinegar from a group of fans who wanted to blame them for every single thing that went wrong. And that's got to be trying on you, especially after a 16-year career. And I think, you know, the fact that Daniel Jones wound up inheriting the job for most of this season allowed Eli to take a little bit of a deep breath and at least for a short while not have to be the subject of all the bows and arrows and the flaming torches that were unmercifully and unjustifiably thrown his way. And I think what you saw is him loosening his collar just a little bit, saying, hey, you know what? It's nice to be a human being for a change instead of a target for everybody's vinegar.
Well, he also got some praise, too. Don't forget that. I mean, he
well,
did win the MVP twice.
Well, from those who understood the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, look, that's part and parcel of playing in New York. You know, there are other markets where players are idolized and not a word against them. But New York, it's tough. I mean, you look on the other side, not the other side of town, but the same stadium. People wanted the coach fired after 8 games. They were flying planes over the Meadowlands to get rid of him. So that's the tough side of playing in this market, isn't it?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, but unfortunately, the low bar that the media has set in recent years, especially with social media, it has become even worse for some superstars to get their just due and a fair take. I can only imagine. Remember what the Phillies fans did to Mike Schmidt, that he actually had to wear a disguise one time? I can only imagine. And they threw snowballs at Santa. I mean, oh, my goodness. Hey, yeah. Hey, pro sports is pro sports, right? If people didn't have opinions and emotions, then there'd be no reason to have the games.
That is true. Well, speaking of emotions, I mean, I'm getting all this, oh, this is a blood game coming up. The Giants would, like, they hate the Eagles. And I'm thinking, you know, what history do the Giants and Eagles have with the current players? I mean, you're looking at a wide receiver who's, you know, the most tenured guy on the team now. The days of the real rivalry between the Eagles and Giants, I don't think apply much to the current players, do they?
Well, let me say this in two ways. First of all, the Eagles have won 19 of the last 23 against the Giants. They've owned this team for the last decade. And as I've said on many other outlets, the black magic and voodoo that they have used to beat the Giants in all kinds of comic book ways that you can't even create out of your own head and imagination have certainly come to fruition when they play that team.
Well, so it starts certainly with a fumble, right, back in 78.
Well, I mean,
Herm Edwards,
fortunately
all the way
for the Giants,
then
that worked out well. Yeah, that worked out well because it got them George Young.
Yeah.
But since the 70s, I mean, you've had, you know, you had Deshaun Jackson's punt return for a touchdown. You had Clyde
goal.
Simmons picking up a blocked field goal, running it into the end zone. I mean, it's been all kinds of weird stuff that's happened over the course of time. So here's what I'm saying. There's no doubt that a black cloud is hanging over the Giants' head against this Eagles franchise for the last decade and even in some ways longer. But I mean, since the days of Strahan and Plaxico Burress, they really have not had a way to even the series. But here's what I can tell you. The last 2 years, the Eagles have come back from double-digit deficits in the second half to sting the Giants. The guys in this locker room understand that. They may not have been there for the last decade, but they've been there for the last 2 years. And let me tell you, they feel it, they know it, and I've talked to enough of young guys in that locker room. They actually believe that the Eagles are the most hated rival amongst the players simply because of what they have experienced in these last 2 years. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, this Giants team is fired up, and they badly want to win this game.
Yeah, and the Eagles, I'm sure, are going to be fired up too and hurt. I mean, that's the thing that's interesting. I mean, what they did to the Cowboys with so many guys missing and – you know, if any of that fire is missing from the Eagles, which I doubt it will be because playoffs are on the line here, but if it is, the Giants can certainly hop on that. Okay.
Well, there's no doubt the Eagles are beaten up, and that will be a factor, sure.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, Paul, again, Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next weekend, and we'll kind of review the season. And, you know, if there are changes made, we can talk about that. I don't think there is anybody. You know, I know that there's some interest in Ron Rivera, McCarthy, guys like that, but nothing until something actually does happen, which may or may not. So we'll talk next Saturday about that.
You got it, Richard. Be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.